Welcome to Tip TV Finance, Monday the 17th of October. I'm Nick the Moose Batsford, Commander-in-Chief. I'm joined by Mr. Zach Mir. What are you, Zach, today? A pundit, a technical analyst, a commentator. And more importantly, we've got Richard Hunter, Head of Research for Wilson King Investments. That got you off to a lively start, didn't it? gents, right, here we are, Monday morning. Market's a little bit shaky. People are trying to find a market top. What are your thoughts this morning, Richard?
I think the big thing this week is probably that the Q3 earnings season in the States really gets into full swing. We're normally a couple of weeks behind, so we've got that to follow. We've got a few names coming out in the UK this week, but certainly not as busy as the States. It's been set against a fairly low bar of expectations, so there are hopes that there will be some positive earnings statements coming out. It's equally important, of course, about the outlook comments for the fourth quarter, where things are expected to be a bit tougher. Now, of course, in the US, they've got pretty much exactly the opposite problem that we've got. They've got a strong dollar, which is usually the boardroom mantra coming out of US boardrooms when they report on a quarterly basis, notwithstanding that 70% of their economy is consumer-driven rather than having much to do with overseas. But with that, the Q3 earnings season, plus obviously the impending election, we may well find this week in particular that talk of Brexit at least takes a backseat for temporarily.
Understood. Zach, thought of the day.
There's no way that we can get through the Q3 reporting season in the US with those indices being higher than they are now. It's just, I think it's impossible.
So are you calling the market top?
I suppose it probably just to upset both of us, it'll just go nowhere for the next, it's been in a range for the last 2-3 weeks anyway with the Dow and the S&P, so probably that'll continue, same with the FTSE. So everybody's looking for a top or a continuation, everybody gets upset by that. But I can't see how anybody can really come up with anything positive ahead of the US election. And also with the Q3 earnings coming through and a very strong dollar, it would be really difficult for them to outperform expectations.
Understood. Right, let's kick off with some slides. Let's kick off with the first one, most popular in business and finance. Posh crisp brand Tyrrell shuns Brexit fears to make its own US trade deal. UK economy, slower growth environment ahead. Slowing consumer spending and business investment exposes Britain to a slower growth environment ahead, according to Ernst & Young Item Club think tank. Tyrrell's crisps, incredible. Do like them. Right, let's move on to Investors Chronicle. The trader, Nicole Elliott. In a BBC interview this weekend, Ben Broadbent of the Bank of England said, having a flexible currency is an extremely important thing, especially in an environment when your economy is facing a shock that's different from your trading partners. In the shape of that referendum, we've had exactly one of those shocks. Allowing the currency to react to that is a very important shock absorber. He also warned that inflation would probably rise above their 2% target, and they would look for it to do so. Right, two pieces there. This currency, I'm starting to read a lot of negatives about the pound being so weak.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the FX guys seem to be saying now that it's looking ridiculously cheap. The problem is, of course, is the two things you've got feeding in. Number one, it's a zero-sum game, and you've got the strength of the things like the dollar, even the euro against the pound more recently. But what we do know is that the impact of Brexit hasn't even started yet. We're still in the EU. Yep. We've still yet to trigger Article 50. We've still yet to have any negotiations of any sort of importance. All that we have had on a positive side from the weakness in sterling is the strength of the FTSE 100, of course. But looking further out, the market seems to be erring on the side of caution in terms of what we will or won't be able to negotiate with our trade partners.
Inflation, Zach?
I don't think that it's going to be as strong as people are thinking at the moment. The problem is the media don't understand the effects of currency or the weaker pound. They just think it goes down, it's bad news. They've never understood it in 100 years, and I don't think they ever will. On the inflation front, we were praying for inflation to come through. I'd like it to be at 2%. I think that would be good for growth and everything else, but I think it's going to be a long, slow journey to inflation, even if we have it.
Understood. Let's move on to the economic calendar. In the US today, Empire Manufacturing, Industrial Production, Capacity Utilization, Manufacturing Production, and the sale of three-month bills and six-month bills. Right, let's move on to sentiment. This is always an interesting slide for me. The summary of open positions held by and the clients. A quick whiz through there, please, Zach.
Well, I was going to say, I don't want to be too cynical, because I'm always cynical, but just in case you're wondering whether gold will hold 1250, looking at the retail traders, they're 77% long of gold. One would assume that it's set for a $50 drop, because that's exactly what their field position was ahead of the breakthrough $1,300 the other week. So
there's a note on gold. Indian demand has been low through the entire rally from 1050 to 1375. However, Indian demand is on the rise, according to my notes here.
Whenever they say physical demand is up, it's normally the last throw of the dice on the on that particular bullish thread. Still long of cable. Retail traders went madly long of cable as soon as we broke 130. Presumably they're still there when it's now nearer to 120. I can't quite understand why that's the case. On the other side, euro sterling, it's above 90 pence. And again, the retail clients have been short up to the eyeballs all the way up. Presumably, they will only start giving up if it goes maybe a little bit higher. But I can't see how they're going to change that stance.
Yeah, understood. Okay, so let's move on to a trade idea of the day, courtesy of the Tip TV Finance team. The S&P 500 breaks a rising trend line. And again, look at your textbooks for that. That's a bearish scenario. Breach of the rising trend line coupled with falling tops formation could yield a much deeper retracement to 2050. So the idea is to sell around 2120 to 30, downside objective 2050, stops above 2170.
I did say to you before, actually, that was one of my conviction calls there. I said that after that gap, the gap down the beginning of September, through the 50-day moving average, which was around 2175, I couldn't see how this market could recover from that. It was just such a strong sell signal. It's taken a while. It's taken much longer than it should have, and hasn't fallen that much, but it still has a very bearish...
So we are now bear confirmed.
Well, we're bear confirmed with the trend line break, but the only problem with this is, again, you don't know the magnitude of the downside. It might just go to 2100 and then bounce from there, et cetera, et cetera. But that negative setup was there and it did work.
Understood. Let's move on to the Co report, courtesy of Investors Intelligence. The S&P 500 last Thursday's breakdown was constructive and then it falls weaker longs out of the market with a brief break of the September lows. The subsequent reversal confirms a small bear trap. The index is finding support again from the 100-day exponential moving average, and if that holds into the close, the index could bounce early this week, moving back towards the three-month range ceiling. So the jury is out with Investors Intelligence, but we've got a sell signal with Zach Mir. Right, let's wrap up. Final thoughts, young Richard?
I think it's quite important that we get this election out of the way. Although Hillary Clinton remains... the favourite, and certainly Mr. Trump hasn't done himself any favours in the last week or two. There is one word of caution, and that's Brexit, because leading up to the Brexit referendum, we all knew it was going to be Remain. Of course it was, but the pollsters let us down. So it ain't all over till it's over.
Yep.
Zach? Yeah, the other thing is that even if Trump, let's say Trump has a narrow loss, he's going to cry foul. I mean, it could be a mess like the 2000... the chards and all the other stuff, vote rigging, all sorts of other stuff. So I think, in fact, after November the 8th could be just as problematic as before.
Understood. Gentlemen, thank you for that. Right, we're going to go to a proactive investor bulletin board we did just before the open on HSBC, and then we're going to come back and do some Colin Twigg's primary trend analysis. Straight back. Thank you.